Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another in a series of Read the Word. Almost said the wrong program. Read the Word. We're glad to have you with us today. Today, this program, right now, we're going to finish the book of Acts. And then we'll be starting into the epistles. And what, you know, what an amazing time this has been all the way through the Word of God. You know, it's pretty interesting to have been able to read out loud chronologically. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to read it exactly how it was, when chronologically it was written, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's been a very interesting read through the Word of God. And, you know, it puts into relevance all of the different figures of history. I have a book here I keep recommending to everybody. It's called The Bible, Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. It's a great book. I think everybody needs one. If you don't have one for your home, get it, because it's a very powerful tool. It's about $25, but it's one of those valuable things. On the back, this blue strip on the bottom is a timeline, and it shows you the modern-day history of what was going on in the world while the Word of God is being written, while the world is happening. And when you think about your Bible, 7,000 years of recorded history right here. It's not a history book, but it's one of the greatest history books there is. Because God made sure that he gave enough details that, historically speaking, you could prove the history of the world with this book. It's not a history book, but it's the best history there is. It's not a theology book, but it's filled with the study of God. This is God's word to mankind, how much he loves us and the great eternity he's provided for us to live forever together with him. And I encourage you, I very, very, very specifically encourage you to really seriously, if you've never read the Word of God, get connected. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Because deep inside the Word of God is a special, special memory, message that is only to God's children. It's not to anybody else. God very specifically wanted you and I to know that he wrote a book that's just designed for us, that don't mean anything to those that don't know him, but to those that know him, it means absolutely everything. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive your word today into our lives, producing life more abundantly. Acts 27. I'm pretty excited about this. I love these last two chapters of the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is still being written because you got a chapter in it. Yeah. It says the Acts of the Apostles of the Lamb, but there's Jews and Gentiles. There's rich and poor. There's the lame, the sick, the healthy. There's all the fivefold ministry. There's deacons and elders. There's teachers and prophets. And then there's just the people called they, who you don't know anything more about them except they were called they. That might be you and me. Many people often think that the greatest place you could ever be is a pastor or prophet or apostle or the fivefold ministry gift. But man, our lights, our names are everywhere. And we've got to do things privately that nobody sees. So we have a reward because our name is out where everybody can see it. And some of the greatest rewards ever going to be given out in heaven are to the people who are called they, that nobody ever knew their name, and yet they changed the history of this world. Thank you for being a part of our life. Acts chapter 27. Now, let's back up a little bit. In 22, Paul is talking. He's in Jerusalem. He's talking to Caesarea, wherever he was. And there came, and they literally started to beat him. They were going to kill him. They were going to beat him to death. And so then the Roman centurion came, and he broke it up, and he went before Felix, and Felix didn't want to do anything. Felix evidently liked Paul. And then he went before Festus, and he went before Ananias, and then he went before Agrippa. And while he's there, he appeals to go before Caesar. And so off to Rome he goes. And he preached the gospel to every one of those national leaders, governmental leaders, right there in that time. And God, bring about your will so that the governmental leaders of our day knows you and have the opportunity to know you. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Acts 27. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So he's a commander of 100. And what's interesting is they put the centurion on a ship with his men plus whatever. You got 100 men on there. Here we go. Entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Now notice that Paul said us. So it's not just Paul. I mean, this is Luke that's writing it. So it's more than just Paul all by himself. And these rulers said, hey, we can tell that this man is innocent. So, yeah, take your friends with you. If you're innocent, they're going to be innocent too. And they have the love of God on their life. So the command, I mean, the Roman centurion's like, yeah, I'll take this guy. Take him to Rome. I get to go to Rome. Yeah, let's go. Now, I want to show you a picture real quick. Just because I like that. Paul's third missionary journey, you see, starts way over here in Jerusalem, right above Arabia, Egypt. He starts over there, and then he goes all the way across the Mediterranean Sea and goes clear over to Malta and then up by Sicily and up to Rome. That's Paul's journey to Rome. That's the third missionary trip, Paul's journey to Rome, not the third missionary trip. And Of course, they're sailing on a ship, so they got to go across all these places. And now we get a very interesting story about the cruise. Paul's on a cruise. All right, here we go. Verse 3, and the next day, we're in Acts 27:3. And the next day, we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When he had put out the sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, underneath Cyprus, all right, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, and bouncing along the coast of Asia. Verse 6, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board there. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off of Salome. Now they're on the bottom side of Crete, and they're going along that island. Now, I don't know how this all... Luke is a physician, but he's a great writer, isn't he? Well, he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. I'd like to live in Fair Havens. Wouldn't you like to live in Fair Havens? It sounds like a great place to live. in the Mediterranean Sea on the island of Crete. I think that'd be great. Verse 9. When much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Remember how we've been praying about dreams? God met Paul somehow and said, this shouldn't happen. 11, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in. The majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. Well, let's keep reading. I've got so much to say, but let's keep reading. When the south wind blew softly, so many times the south wind blows softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out the sea, they sailed close by to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. They named the storm back then. So when the ship was caught, could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Sounds like a bad deal, doesn't it? And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship, which means they literally threw overboard some of the things that were there. 19, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. You messed up. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we should be saved was finally given up. After long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. 26, however, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. When they'd gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Well, by now, they're listening to Paul. Paul said an angel was there, and he said, the angel said, you're going to have to go ashore on this one specific island. The soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today's the 14th day you have waited and continue without food and eating nothing." That's a messed up storm when you're in it for 14 days without food in a storm, going up and down, driven and tossed. That's, I mean, it's amazing to fast 14 days just because you're fasting. Do it in the middle of a storm. "Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Where'd he get the bread? We'd think everything would be soaked. Somebody somewhere had some breads, must have had it in a grocery bag, you know, down in the corner underneath the cupboard. When he had broke it, he began to eat. They were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all were 276 persons on this ship. Now, if you have 276 people on a ship, that is not a little boat. That is a big ship. A centurion, his 100 men, and 175 other people. That's a big ship that they're riding on. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. Of course, when you see a beach, you're going to see sand, and sand is better than rocks any day. 40. So they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. Striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on parts of the ship, and so it was, they all escaped safely to land. Chapter 28. Here we go. And when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling, because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out, oh Jesus, because of the heat, and fastened on to his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." And you can see why they would think that. Verse 5, he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. We tread upon serpents, we tread upon lions and adders, and we cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down. Must have been a very poisonous snake. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to them, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Don't you love human nature? In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us, entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, And when they we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Now, I want you to think about it. So on this one trip from Rome, from Jerusalem to Rome, shipwreck, snake bite, and revival. All in one trip. They didn't listen to Paul. Had they listened and stayed in Crete, they wouldn't have lost their ship. But now the ship is wrecked. Now they're on the island. Paul's bit by the very poisonous snake. Doesn't have any effect. To them, that's a miracle. And now, I love this verse. Verse 9. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed from the island of Malta. And Jesus Christ is priest of Malta. Verse 11. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. So they stayed at Malta for 3 months, which is a whole season. Therefore, now the shipping lanes are going to open back up and they can get moving again. 13. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. After 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. These are some of the people that Paul had met on his previous missionary journeys. And he was glad to see them. 16. When he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. By the time they got from Caesarea all the way to Rome, the centurion's like, there ain't nothing wrong with this guy. I mean, probably most of the soldiers are born again by now of the centurion himself and all 100 of his soldiers. I mean, they just watched Paul save their lives. And the snake bite, many people be healed. That Roman soldier's probably a believer. 17, it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they came together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our father, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. When the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. This chain. 21. And they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, it's called the Way, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging place, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, which in Colossians 1:27, Paul talks of the mystery that was committed to him. And what is it? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. 24. Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed from Paul, departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. When he said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him, in Jesus' mighty name. And now we finish the book of Acts. Paul is in Rome. He's there for 2 years. And then Timothy, I believe it is. Is that right, Timothy? It says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will deliver to me. The Apostle Paul. What an amazing life that he lived. Yeah, that would be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's the answer. Live your whole life in faith, believing God that he's working in your life. You might say, Pastor, I've been standing in faith for a while, and it doesn't seem like it's coming. Well, the more you stand in faith, the more the enemy says, I got to send persecution, tribulation, trials, test. And what does it come for? It comes to steal the word, cares of the world. And the answer for every one of us to stay in faith is we just don't surrender. We just say, no, I got faith. I'm not surrendering. One of my favorite verses is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. God is making all grace abound toward me, toward us. No matter what situation I'm in, daily, God's making grace abound. No matter what situation Sister Leanne and I get into, God is making his grace abound toward us. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, God's grace is abounding. Now, we always say the prayer of salvation at the end of our program, because you never know who's with us. They might be saying, I want to know Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be right with God. I need to come back to God. Pray this prayer with me. I'll give it to you in a few words at a time. You pray it with me. And if you mean it from the depths of your heart, way down inside, you know whether you're playing games or not. Mean it from the depths of your heart. You'll be right with God in 2 minutes. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my heart and in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. Now here's your question. That one said if. Now you say it. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Say it. Put your arms out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power. Understand the word of God. Holy Spirit brings understanding. Pray in my heavenly language and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. If that's the first time you prayed it, hey, you're right with God. If you could just come back to God, I love it. You are right with God. How amazing is that? Simple prayer makes you right with God. Now, of course, we know what to help you pray so you'll be right with God. We know how to help you walk with God. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. If you're looking for a good church, this is a church. You can pay your tithe. You can worship God. You can praise God. You can receive communion. I've never done a wedding or a funeral online, but hey, did do a baptismal service. And we want to be a blessing to you in any way we can. You might say, Pastor, how do I don't even know how to live for God. Well, get your book. Get your Bible. I recommend this one, Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's what I use. So as you study with me, it'll say the same words. I use the New King James Version. And it's going to cost you a little bit more money, but it's one of the greatest investments you'll ever make in your life. Get one with the good leather. If you can't get a Bible, make sure you get in contact with us. My email address is right down there, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Now, every day, this program is here. We started on January 1st, and on December 31st, we'll read the last verse of the Bible. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And it's in a playlist. If you search my name, Samuel J. Cottle, on your YouTube page, and then you write, read the word after my name, you'll find this playlist. And these videos are all marked in this playlist that take you from the book of Genesis all the way through the whole Bible chronologically. And it won't be very long into it. You'll be like, wow, this is awesome. Make the commitment. Make the commitment. You're going to stand before Jesus someday. Whether you believe me or not, you're going to stand before Jesus. And he's going to ask you what you did with the Word of God. Get your Bible. And at least get yourself started, because his return is very soon. And then stick with us. We're on here every single day preaching the gospel and helping you know who Jesus is. You can search my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and just about any subject that you need, and there'll be a video pop up on YouTube that you can listen to. It's not big, fancy, inside a building church, big church meeting. It's me sitting here, and many times with many people on the internet, and it's you coming to know who God is, and many people there with us. So, until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. We'll see you soon, right here, in Jesus' mighty name.